Hare Krishna. We very sincerely welcome everyone to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath's Sunday festival. Today is a very holy day. It is the Rasa Yatra of Lord Sri Balaramji that he performs on bank of Yamuna in a place in Vrindavan that is worshipped as Ramghat. Lord Sri Balaramji came from Dwarka on his chariot for the purpose of trying to revive the hearts of the Brijavasis who were suffering for so many years in separation from Lord Krishna. He was greeted by Nanda and Yashoda, who were constantly asking him about the welfare of all the Yadus, and especially Krishna. And Balaramji also met with the Gopas, his old friends, to also try to restore their hearts by telling the pastimes of Krishna. He met with the gopis, and for a long time, seeing the intense love and separation that they were feeling, Lord Balaramji glorified their loving relations with Krishna. And then every night for 2 months, with his own set of gopis, he performed the rasa dance on bank of Yamuna. And Varuni, the daughter of Varuna, appeared in the hollows of kadamba trees in the form of an ambrosial nectarine drink, just to give Balaramji and his consorts more happiness. They all took that Varuni beverage. Balaramji, in the ecstasy of love, exchanged with his devotees. His eyes seemed to be rolling. And he demanded Yamuna to change her course, to flow where he was dancing with gopis. But Yamuna did not take such a request seriously, because who requests a river to change her course? All he has to do is walk a few steps and she's right there. But Balaram picked up his plow. You wretched river, you dare to defy my order? I will slash you into so many little streams, hundreds of streams. And he took his plow and started to do. And then Kalindi, the personification of Yamuna, appeared before him with folded hands and glorified his supreme position and surrender to him. Balaram was happy and played with his gopis in Yamuna. And when he came out, the goddess Kanti, goddess of fortune, had garland and dry garments. In this way, the Rasa Leela of Balaram was performed. Vrindavan Das Thakur, as he begins Chaitanya Bhagavat, he tells the story to show who is Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram himself. Just as Lord Balaram performs every type of role to serve his brother Krishna, similarly did Nityananda Prabhu, as did Lakshmana in the Leela of Sri Ramchandra. So this day is especially honored and worshipped by Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And for your pleasure, we will be having a special festival this evening in honor of Lord Balaram's Ras Leela. The evening darshan will be specially arranged. It may go later than usual. In fact, it will definitely go later than usual. If you can be here by 8:30, and maybe some katha and a lot of kirtan and beautiful darshan in honor of Sri Balaramji. It is also a day when we honor the great Shyamananda Goswami, one of the most empowered and important of the acharyas in our disciplic succession. Shyamananda Goswami, or Shyamananda Pandit, was a disciple of Hriday Chaitanya in Ambika Kalna in Orissa, who was personally sent by his Gurudev to be trained and educated in the deepest siddhanta and culture of Lord Chaitanya's teachings by Srila Jiva Goswami. The nephew of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, and who at that time was the principal of Acharya of all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Shyamananda Pandit was classmates at the Radha Damodar temple under Jiva Goswami with Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya. His name was originally Duki Krishna Das, but when he was performing, he was such a great scholar, exalted in every way. But his greatest pleasure was menial service. With a broom, not the kind of brooms we have today, kind of the proud person's broom where you stand up and sweep. This is the kind of broom where you have to get on your knees and sweep. Yes? So he would sweep the forests and the pathways of Braj Bhumi, especially in the area of Seva Kunj, on his knees with a broom every day, year after year. He was doing all his scholarly work, but such menial services. He offered menial service to Jiva Goswami, menial service to Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, all the great devotees. But he wanted to render menial service to everyone, and ultimately to Sri Sri Radha Shamsundar by sweeping. It's a beautiful but long story. But one day he found while he was sweeping a magnificent golden bangle. Yes? And it was an ornament. This was how Radharani was personally reciprocated with him. Lalita Sakhi came in disguise and said, "Did you find a golden ornament? It is my friend's. Please give it to me." And Shyamananda Prabhu said, "I would like to give it to her myself." So by the power of Lalita Sakhi, who was Swarup Damodar Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, she transformed him into his spiritual form. And she took him before as a Manjari and took him before Srimati Radharani, who took that ornament and pushed it on his head and made a special tilak. And because he gave so much pleasure to Sri Radharani, Radharani gave him a new name. One of Radharani's names is Shama. Radha and Krishna's Shama, Sham. She gave him the name Shama Ananda, one who gives us pleasure to Sri Radha. So when he came back to his form of Shamananda Pandit, he had this tilak that was there still. And the devotees were wondering, because sometimes Gaudiya Vaishnavas can be very strict about being bona fide. What tilak is this? This is not proper tilak. Well, he couldn't just start telling everybody, because devotees don't like to tell about their internal ecstasies. But he explained it to Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami, he understood that this was his truth. But when Shyamananda Pandit found out, when Hriday Chaitanya found out in Orissa, he's hearing all rumors. Your disciple, he has a new name now. And he's wearing a different tilak than you gave him. He was very, very upset. He wasn't upset for himself. He wanted to save his disciple. Because Guru Aparad is the worst type of Vaishnava Aparad. And it was his duty to save his disciple. Was it Jiva Goswami who's giving him a new name? I sent him there to teach him. And now is he getting new names now? Giving him new tilak? So he wanted to save his disciple. Now, Hriday Chaitanya was a disciple of Gauri Das Pandit. And previously also he was a very intimate associate of Gadadhar Pandit. And he was especially in the mood of a cowherd boy. Gauri Das Pandit is Subal in Krishna's Leela, his Param Guru. So when Hriday Chaitanya came, he came all the way to Vrindavan just to try to rescue his disciple from Aparad. And he challenged him, "What is this new tilak and what kind of new name? I gave you name, Duki Krishna Das. Now you're Shamananda. What is this?" And he was very humble. But ultimately, what happened is they said, "If we can erase your tilak," because he had to tell his guru something of what happened. He said, "If we can erase your tilak, we understand this is not true." So he actually went to and explained to Srimati Radharani what the situation was. And she said, "I will protect you. Tell him if he can erase the tilak, then that is proof you are not telling the truth." So the disciples were rubbing the tilak and rubbing the tilak, but every time it just came right back, and it came right back. And Hriday Chaitanya, to protect his disciple, to show him the seriousness of an offense, he actually beat him. But then it was revealed to Hriday Chaitanya that it was actually causing pain to the Lord. And then his Hriday Chaitanya honored him with great joy and pride. It is a long story, but I'm not going to go very deep into it today. But a beautiful thing that happened is Jiva Goswami instructed Shamananda Pandit along with Srinivasacharya and Narottam Das Thakur to take the books of the Goswamis to Bengal to be copied and distributed. And in King Birambir in Vanavishnupuram stole the books. And Shamananda Goswami was sent back to his native place to preach. Eventually, the king delivered the books, became a disciple of Srinivasacharya, and the entire kingdom did. So sometimes catastrophes are stepping stones to the greatest opportunities and blessings. And Shamananda Goswami in Orissa, he preached the message of Prema Bhakti, and hundreds and thousands of people came to him. One of his disciples, Rasikananda, was bringing hundreds and hundreds of thousands of more people. Wonderful histories of this great Vaishnava. One in particular, Shamananda was doing Nam Sankirtan with his devotees. And there was a Mughal ruler named Sher Khan. He outlawed any public Hindu practices. And here they're playing mridanga, kartals, dancing. Oh, nonsense, what is this? He came with his soldiers, angry as fire. Said, if you ever do this again, I will break your drums, I will break your heads, I will imprison you, torture you, never do this again. Now here's the ruler. The next day, there's Shamananda Goswami in the streets doing Nam Sankirtan with his devotees. And he's charged at them. Shere Khan with his soldiers charged at them. It was going to be a bloody punishment. But seeing this, Shamananda started screaming out very loudly the holy names. And it just was so loud, even the king and everybody had to run away. I mean, the ruler had to run away. It was just too much. It was unearthly. And then that night, Allah appeared to Shere Khan in a dream. And told him, I have appeared in this age as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he has promoted this Nam Sankirtan movement, which is meant to spread love of God beyond all sectarian boundaries, and Shamananda Goswami is my pure devotee, and you have attacked him. You have two choices. Either you die, or you go and surrender to him and become his disciple. So the next day, Shamananda Goswami's out doing Nam Sankirtan, and here comes Shere Khan, falls at his feet, tears in his eyes, and surrenders his life. Today is also Hanuman Jayanti. I spoke very briefly because by popular demand we wanted to speak a few words about Hanumanji. Hanuman personifies bhakti, devotional service. in his qualities and his pastimes, he reveals the essential virtues that every devotee should strive for. His determination, his absolute loyalty, his willing to cross over all apparently impossible obstacles, and his total absorption in remembering Lord Ram and chanting the holy names. In Sri Ramayana, we first see the appearance of Hanumanji on the banks of a crystal clear lake called Pampa Sarovar. Previously, in Panchavati or Nasik, Ravana had abducted Sita in a most cowardly way. As a Kshatriya, it would have been proper in those days to fight Ram. But proper for a Rakshasa. Kshatriya doesn't fight for somebody else's wife. But Rakshasas will do that. It's within their codes. But after hearing about Ram, he had another Rakshasa, Maricha, to disguise himself as that golden deer to allure Ram away. And then as Lord Ram shot the deer, he cried out, "Lakshman, Ram, or Lakshman, Lakshman, help me, help me." And Sita forced Lakshman to go. When no one was around, that demon Ravana, he came disguised as a saintly person, knowing that Sita was very much inclined toward opening her heart and serving saintly people. Just see how deceiving Maya could be. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said in the age of Kali, the disciples of Kali sometimes even take the guise of devotees just to cheat people, especially to exploit them and destroy their faith. And the scriptures say that in the age of Kali, sometimes demons appear in families of Brahmins just to deceive us, get us to open our hearts to them and exploit. That was Ravana. As he was flying with Sita, Jatayu jumped forward to defend her, knowing he didn't have really a chance because of his old age. And he was defeated. But in the process, Jatayu did kill all Ravana's asses and his chariot and break his bow. All he had left was a sword to cut off his wings. Jatayu was just too tired to continue the fight, so he was killed. But in a place called Kishkindha Kshetra, which is today in Karnataka, Sugriva and Hanuman and the others, they happened to see, well, first they heard this beautiful sound of a helpless lady screaming out, "O Ram, O Lakshman, help me, help me. O Ram, O Lakshman, help me, help me." And these vanaras, monkey soldiers, looked up in the sky, and there they saw a beautiful goddess in the grips of a mighty rakshasa. What is this? She had some jewels. The jewels that were given to her by Anasuya on the banks of the Mandakini Ganga in Chitrakoot. She is the wife of Atri Muni. And she threw down those jewels, hoping that when Ram would come there, they would show him those jewels and they would know which way. They could tell Ram which way she was going. Sugriva took those jewels and put them in the cave where he resided. Meanwhile, Sri Ramchandra was searching, 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 asking the trees and the deers and the birds and the sun and the moon and the stars and the river, the Godavari River, "Have you seen Sita?" One deer just kind of glanced in the southern direction, so he followed that. In his search, he came upon that massive personality named Kabanda, who tried to devour Ram and Lakshman. But Ram and Lakshman cut the arms off. And he said, "I will tell you everything, just put my body on fire." So they put his body on fire, and Kabanda, in his original form of a demigod, explained how he was cursed in this form. But he said, "You will find your Sita, but the best way to do so is nearby is a lake called Pampa, and near that is the Rishyamukha mountain. Dwelling there is Sugriva. You should make allies with him and have him help you find Sita." So following Kabanda's direction, they came to Pampa Sarovar. Beautiful, beautiful lake. And they found there a very old lady living in little caves and hut, named Shabari. She was an ascetic, sitting in meditation, dressed in deer skin. And when she saw Ram, she jumped up. She was so happy. She bowed down her head at his lotus feet and offered him every type of service she had. All there was some berries that were growing. And it is said that those berries, you don't know whether they're sweet or sour unless you taste them. And she definitely did not want to give anything bitter to Ram. So in her spontaneous affection, she would taste a little bit. And if they were sweet, she took it out of her mouth and gave it to Ram. If it was bitter, she put it aside. And Ram accepted. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. If you offer me leaf fruit or a little water with love and devotion, I will accept it. Krishna does not accept the thing, he accepts the love in which it is offered, or the purpose in which it is offered. Now, if you try worshipping the deity like that, you will definitely fall down, because you don't have that love and you don't have that necessity. You can other ways. But Ram accepted her love. because her heart was totally simple. And Ram asked all about her. She was a disciple of Mantara Muni. And she said long before, she was always serving all the rishis who were his followers. But he was going to go back to Vaikuntha with all his disciples. But he told Shabari that you must stay here. Because Lord Ram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will come here in the future. And you must be here to serve him. So she said, Sri Ram, in the absence of my Gurudev, on his order, I have been waiting here, doing severe tapasya, year after year after year, just meditating on your coming, and now you have come. She served him in every way possible, and then asked his permission. I have stayed in this world for the purpose I was allotted. Now let me join my guru and serve him and all the rishis in the spiritual world once again. And Ram gave his blessings. And she went to the sacred fire and sat in meditation, and her body was consumed by fire. And then her celestial, spiritual form appeared. Youthful, beautiful, decorated with jewels. And with Ram's blessings, she went back home, back to Godhead. Meanwhile, from up in the Rishyamukha mountain, Sugriva, he has spies all around. Because his elder brother Bali wants to kill him. So he had guards all around. It was the only safe place that Bali could not go. He's in the hermitage of this rishi. Because he was cursed to die if he would ever go there. So Sugriva, when he looked down and he saw Ram and Lakshman, they looked very young and very powerful. He called Hanumanji, said, I'm sure this must be two powerful warriors sent by Bali to kill me. I want you to go down in the disguise of a Brahmin mendicant and find out exactly who they are. So Hanumanji, who was given powers when he was young, could change his form according to his desire. And he became a nice little young Brahmin mendicant. And he jumped down and he met with Sri Ram and Lakshman. As soon as he saw Ramchandra, something happened. The spontaneous, ecstatic love was awakening in his heart. But he didn't understand exactly why. So he asked. Actually, first of all, because that love was so much, he couldn't keep a secret anymore. He said, I am Hanuman. I am the servant of Sugriva, and I've come to find out who you are. And Lakshman told him that this is my brother Ram, the son of Dasarath, and told the story of his birth in Ayodhya and his marriage to Sita And then he talked about the exile due to the influence of Kaikeyi and how Ravana had stolen Sita and he was searching. Hanuman, he had to resume his original form. He said, "Why didn't I recognize you, Ram? You are the Lord of my life since my earliest childhood." The Lord explained. Krishna tells in Gita, "Yayatam mampapadyante tamstataiva pajamyam." As you approach the Lord reciprocates accordingly. Krishna says in Gita, if you want to cheat God, God will cheat you. And who's a better cheater? You or God? So who's going to win? He's the supreme at everything. So if someone assumes a false identity, then the Lord covers himself. If we accept our real role, our true role, Jivera Swarupoi Krishnara Nitya Das, as the eternal servants of the Lord, if that's actually how we identify ourselves, then the Lord reveals himself. So Hanumanji, he said, when Lakshman explained about Kabanda saying we should come here and make allies with Sugriva, Hanumanji said, "I am his messenger, I am his servant." And then he resumed a pretty big Hanuman form. And he said, "Jump on my shoulders, and I will take you to Sugriva." So Ram and Lakshman got on his shoulders, and he held them and leaped to the top of the Rishyamukha mountain. Sugriva said, "I want to help you. But the problem is, how can I help you? I can't leave this mountain." And he explained the reason. That long ago, an asura, a demon named Dundubi, attacked. It's very powerful. But Sugriva was also very powerful. I mean, Bali was very powerful. So he fought with that demon. Fought with that demon very good. And he killed the demon. And then just to show his power, he threw it. This gigantic Rakshasa-like demon went flying through the air and it landed right in this Matunga Rishi's ashram where he was performing yajna with his disciples. And it just, poof! And blood splashed on everybody. So the sage cursed, "Whoever has defiled my yajna in this way and my ashram, if that person ever comes in this area, he will die." So later on, some other demon attacked, and Bali was fighting him, and the demon went into a cave, and Bali and his younger brother Sugriva went to the cave. And Bali said, "You wait outside the cave, I'm going in." And he went in. And he was there for a long time, hour after hour after hour, for days. Sugriva's waiting. "Where's my brother?" And finally he hears this horrible scream and blood flows out. And he was convinced, "My brother's dead. But I should keep that demon in the cave." So he put a big rock and put it in front of the cave to block the entrance. And then he went down and became the king. But there was a problem. It was the demon that was killed. And Bali had a hard time moving that rock. And when he came out, he saw Sugriva enjoying all the pleasures of his throne. Arivo. So Bali attacked him and they started fighting. And Sugriva had to run away because Bali was too strong. And the only way he could run was Rishyamukha Mountain. And Hanuman and his allies all came with him. And they were living in exile. Sugriva said, if you can help me overcome Bali, I can help you find Sita. And Ram said, there is no problem. I will kill Bali with my arrows, and you will be the king. After all, Bali has taken your wife. He's taken your wife. This is a very illegal activity. It is the proper justice. Sugriva said, Bali is very strong. How do I know you can do it? There were 7 tall trees. Yes? Very big, wide trees. And Lord Ramchandra, with an arrow, it went through all those trees, went around the whole universe, went into the ground, came out and into his quiver. Bali was impressed. I mean, Sugriva was impressed. And then Ram threw Dundubi, right? He threw the dead long distance. Huh? 80 miles he threw. So then Sugriva comes right into the kingdom, something he would never dare to do. He said, Bali, you rascal, you coward. You've been hiding from me all these days. Now I've come to fight with you. Stand before me if you dare. Bali. What is this? He was raging mad, being insulted, and he came out to fight. It was a very, very serious fight. But after some time, Sugriva was losing. And he was waiting for Ram to do something. And he fighting. And he was practically on the verge of being killed. And Ram didn't do anything. So finally, somehow or other, Sugriva just squirmed out from Bali's grips and ran away. And ran back to Rishabhuka Mountain. Where Bali couldn't come. And he said, Ram, what happened? Actually, it's important. Before this fight, they solemnized their alliance. They both sat. Hanumanji, who was a great priest as well, he was everything. Whatever way service needed to be done, he was the best. So he started a sacred fire. He was the priest. And Ram and Sugriva sat at the fire together. And they both made vows to be allies. Ram to help overcome Bali. And Sugriva to help find Sita. They took vows before the sacred fire. And the priest, Hanuman, that they would be lifelong loyal to each other. So Sugriva asked Ram, what? I had complete faith in you and you betrayed me. Ram said, I didn't betray you. He said, well, I had to run away. He said, that's because you're brothers. You look just like each other. When you were fighting, I couldn't tell who was Sugriva and who was Bali. And I didn't. If I accidentally killed you, that would have broken our vow. So now go back and fight. But Lakshman will make a garland for you to wear, and then I'll know that the monkey with the garland is you. Bali had faith. He put on that garland made by Lakshman, wild flowers, and he ran back into the kingdom and screamed out, Bali! You coward! You've been running and hiding for so long. You have usurped the kingdom that is meant to be mine. You are a cheater. You've taken my wife. I challenge you to stand before me and meet your death. Bali was outraged. But his wife, Tara, she said, Bali, don't you see there's something suspicious? You just defeated him and he ran away. So why is he coming back? Don't you understand? He has an ally. I have heard something about this Ram. It was very, very powerful. If you go there, you're going to be killed. He has a very powerful ally with him. But anger and pride, these two things cover one's intelligence. Because Sugriva was insulting Bali, and Bali was a Kshatriya. He had a lot of pride. And because of that false pride, because he was so powerful and so good at everything he did, and he was the king with so many followers, who is my wife to tell me what I should do? He just didn't listen to his wife. Went out, started fighting, and Ram from the forest shot him. Bali laid there on the verge of death. This is a good example to husbands who think they know better than their wives. And it's a good example also for those who have false pride, or those who are incited by anger, whether it's your wife or your godbrothers or godsisters or your mother or father or children. Even if you have good advice, you can't hear it. Ravana, because of his lust and pride, he was getting so much good advice from so many people, but he could not hear. He wouldn't believe it. So was Bali. Yeah. And when Ram came before him, he said to Ramu, what kind of coward? If you would have fought me, I would have defeated you. Why you shot me from without me seeing you? That's not Kshatriya code. And Ram said, no, because of your offense of taking Sugriva's wife, is that Kshatriya code? And besides that, according to Kshatriya code, you're allowed to kill monkeys any way you like, and you're a monkey. He was defeated. And Bali surrendered his life to Ram. His only desire before leaving, chanting the name of Ram, seeing the beautiful face of Ram, taking the blessings of Ram, offering his heart to Ram. He just wanted his son, Angada, to be protected. And Ram sent Bali to his... He was a Amsa of Lord Indra. So Sugriva became the king. Ram was so devout to the principle of integrity. His father's honor was based on the demand of Kaikeyi that Ram live in the deep forest for 14 years. He wouldn't even go into the kingdom of the monkeys because that was considered something like a settlement. So he sent Lakshman inside to coronate Sugriva as the king. But the vast dark clouds of the monsoons formed in the sky, and soon after this the rain started pouring. It's So it was decided that it would be very, very difficult to find Sita during the monsoon season. But after the rainy season, they would commence. When the rainy season ended, Sugriva, he was really enjoying his new facilities as the king. He had beautiful wife and all maidservants all around him, very, very beautiful. And he had so much facilities for intoxication and for luxury, very soft beds, couches, nice facilities. And even though he was such a great devotee, and he made his vow before Ram, still, because he was idle. The rainy season, there was not all that much to do. Because he was idle, he started trying to, he just opened his heart up to enjoy these things. And that's the way Maya works. You just give a little, and she wants more and more and more. And not only will she take more, but she'll give you all justifications until you're completely trapped. So at the end of the rainy season, Sugriva, he didn't even think about Ram. He was just intoxicated and enjoying like anything. Luxuries, association of beautiful women. It was Hanuman that saved him. As soon as the monsoon's over, as soon as the month ended, Hanuman was right there. Because he was the minister and he wasn't enjoying anything. Hanuman was just meditating on the mission. Yes? He said to Sugriva, he said, "You promised Ram. He killed Bali for you. Already days have passed and you've done nothing. You should call your generals, call your leaders all together so that we could begin our search immediately." So the leaders of the Vanara dynasty all came. They were given instructions to search the four directions. But meanwhile, Sugriva was still enjoying. Lakshman was outraged. Ram, the whole 4 months, was in a mountain called Prashravana. Have any of you been to Hampi? Still the cave. Someday, with your permission, we can have a yatra to Hampi. We had 2 already, but that was long ago. How many were on those yatras? Raise your hands, please. It was really long ago. There is Anjana Parvat, which is Hanuman's birthplace. And there's Madhuban Forest, which we'll discuss later. And then there is Prashravana, also called Malyavanta. That's where Ram spent those months in a cave. And in that cave, there's a deity of Ram. It's a big deity, made out of black shalagrams-type stone. And Ram has a mala in one hand, and his hand is on his heart, other hand. Representing that during the whole time Ram was crying in separation of Sita, and with the mala he was chanting her name, Sita, 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 Sita. And with his other hand over his heart, because he was meditating on Sita within the core of his heart. It will be nice if we go there someday. Also, there is the place on the bank of the river, Tungabhadra River, where Lakshman was coronated Sugriva. And there's also the cave of Sugriva, where the jewels were kept. Sugriva came, went, when he heard about from Ram, he went into the cave, brought out the jewels, and showed them to Ram. And Ram understood that, yes, you have seen her. She has gone that direction toward the south. So Ram and Lakshman, they were in that state. And Lakshman was, he was very angry. Because already days had passed. The rainy season was finished and no word from Sugriva. Ram told him, go and find out why he's not come, but don't be harsh with him. But Lakshman, when he just heard about Sugriva just enjoying like anything, luxuries, and he was thinking of Ram, he's just up there doing penance and austerities and separation from Sita, and this devotee is enjoying material sense gratification like anything. He was mad. Just by his glance, he looked like he was going to destroy the entire universe. And some messengers came to Sugriva and said, Lakshman's coming. He's really angry. Sugriva understood he was a rascal. He was enjoying while Ram is suffering. How can that be? Ram's in a cave and he's in the kingdom in soft beds with women and intoxications. So he sent Tara, the mother of Angada, that Lakshman will not be angry on a woman. Of course, Suparnaka he was quite angry with. But Tara is a very nice, chaste woman. Devotee said, you go and try to explain to him that I already called for my generals and everything's going to be all right. So she went and tried to pacify Lakshman. And then Lakshman came before Sugriva and he saw him sprawled out on his couch. How can you be enjoying, intoxicated with all these women when Ram's up there all alone, longing for Sita? Hanuman saved him. Said, I already called. I already dispatched everybody. We already have our plan. So Sugriva went to meet with Lord Ramchandra. And at that time, he was dispatching his different leaders to different directions. But to Angada, he said, I will have Hanuman assisting you. You should go in the southern direction. Sugriva said to Hanumanji, I am sure you are the one that's going to find Sita. And Ramchandra called Hanuman because he understood Hanuman's devotion. He said, I am sure you will find Sita. And Ram gave a golden ring. With his name inscribed in it. Yes? And said, if you present this to Sita, she will know that you are my messenger. What was Hanuman's power? It was his devotion. Sometimes we think that Hanuman was so strong and he could jump so far and he was the son of Vayu. And we try to see just his material qualification. But what was Hanuman's qualification really for jumping over oceans, for lifting mountains, for burning Sri Lanka? For overcoming every possible obstacle. It was his total determination to serve and please the Lord. He was empowered by his love. Krishna says, I am the ability in man. It was his love and devotion. Ram reciprocated and gave him powers to fulfill all of his desires for devotional service. There was no limitation. They went searching. They were supposed to come back in 1 month. Should I continue? Thank you. They were supposed to come back in 1 month, but they couldn't find anywhere. They were traveling, wandering. All the other three groups that went to the north and the east and the west, they came back after a month and said to Sugriva, we can't find. No sign, nothing. So Angada was very worried. We're already later than a month, and we still haven't gone back. It's a very dangerous situation. What will Sugriva think? They went deep and deep and deep into a very dark forest where there was not even any water, fruits, or anything to eat. They were starving. Then they saw coming out of a cave, when they were really famished, weak, hardly, they couldn't even go on. They saw a bird come out of a cave with water dripping from its wings. So they thought there must be water in there. And they went deeper and deeper into this cave. And they saw some bats fly out. And as they flew out, water sprinkled on their heads. There must be water in there. They went deeper and deeper and deeper into this cave. Then they came about this beautiful open area where there are golden trees laden with luscious fruits. There was beautiful ponds of crystal clear water with lotus flowers. It was like paradise. And then they saw a table with golden plates and luxurious feasts of the finest vegetarian prasad on every plate. It's wonderful. And they saw all golden furniture and ivory furniture and jewels of emeralds and rubies and diamonds and coral. And in the midst of this most opulent, magnificent scene with all this luscious prasad, there was this ascetic woman sitting in meditation, wearing just a deerskin. They asked her who she was. She said that she was Swayam Prabha. And she told the story of that place, that there was an apsara, a heavenly lady, who who was living there. Previously Maya. Maya, the architect for the demons. He created that whole place to be with this apsara. But somehow or other he got in a fight with Indra and he had to leave. And the apsara lived there. And Swayam Prabha was her maidservant. But then the apsara left and went back to the heavenly planets. So Swayam Prabha was just there. And she said, please now, eat to your heart's satisfaction, drink to your heart's satisfaction. They all ate, they all drank. They all told about their mission for Lord Sri Ramchandra. She gave them faith that they would be successful. She said, now close your eyes and I will take you out of the cave and you continue with your search for Sita. So they closed their eyes and then they were outside of the cave. They were searching and searching and searching for days. They could not, they were looking in every cave and behind every tree, everywhere. They couldn't find any sign of anyone. One gigantic rakshasa just appeared in the middle of the forest. And Angada thought, this must be Ravana, and jumped up and slapped him in the face so hard, the rakshasa died. But then he realized it wasn't Ravana. So Angada, he was very depressed. What to do? He said, already the month has long passed, and we still haven't come back to report. Sugriva is going to kill me. Hanuma, others were saying, why do you say Sugriva is going to kill you? Because I'm Bali's son. I really don't think he likes me. This is a good excuse to kill me. I'm coming back late and I haven't served my purpose. So then others who were actually the close associates of Bali, they all agreed with Angada. We're going to stay here with Angada. Some of them decided, we can't go back. We can't face Sugriva. We're late and we failed. So some of them said, we should go back to Swayam Prabha's cave. And we should just spend the rest of our lives there enjoying nice prasad and nice water and luxuries. And Sugriva won't find us. But Hanuman said, but Ram will find you. We cannot do that. So Angada said, all right, well, then I'm just going to sit here and fast till death. And they were all sitting like that. And meanwhile, there was a big old bird named Sampati who saw them. And they were all sitting in a long row, these gigantic, because these were not little monkeys like in Vrindavan. These were gigantic, heroic warrior monkeys. And he was thinking, what a feast. They're talking about fasting till death. And they're all, I can just eat one after another. He was a vulture. But then as he was there, waiting to eat them, I think it was Angada, he was talking about how, just like Jatayu died trying to reclaim Sita, so will we. And Sampati said, all of a sudden he appeared on the scene. And he said, did you say Jatayu? That he died trying to rescue Sita in the service of Ram? Jatayu is my brother. And he told story. How long ago, when they were young, they decided to fly in the air toward the sun, toward the heavens. But the sun was getting so hot. Sampati wanted to protect his brother, so he covered him with his wings. But in the process of protecting his brother, his own wings got burned off. And he fell there. But then one rishi told Sampati that I could give you the blessing of your wings back. But then you won't be here at the time when the Lord needs you the most. A day will come when Lord Rama's servants in the form of monkeys will come looking for Sita, and you will help them by giving them direction. And after performing this service, your wings will regrow. He told the story. He said, I've been here for hundreds and hundreds of years, not being able to go anywhere. And I'm really old, and I can't fly. He said, but the one thing I still have as a vulture is really good eyes. And I can see right now, 800 miles across the ocean is the island of Sri Lanka. That is the kingdom of Ravana. And I could see now, Sita is there, crying for Ram. Cross over that ocean and you will meet Sita. And you will be able to to bring Ram and Sita back together again. He said, there will be no difficult for you. Because one who chants the holy name of Lord Ram, they can at the time of death cross the entire ocean of material existence. What is this little 800-mile ocean in comparison? Just focus your mind on Ram, chant his holy names, and all help will be there. For the first time, they understood exactly where Sita was. After giving this news, beautiful, youthful wings grew on Sampati, and he flew into the sky. Go, Premanandi! So Angada, Hanuman, they were very blissful. They went to the shore of the ocean, trying to decide how to cross. Angada said, I can jump across 800 miles, but I don't know if I could come back. Jambavan, he said, you are the prince. You should not be doing this. One of us should do it. Jambavan said, personally, now I'm too old. In my youth, I could just go around the whole world in one jump. But now I won't be able to make it there and back. And then all the other monkeys were saying how far they could jump. Said, I could jump one yojana. Somebody else said, I can jump two yojanas. I can jump 10 yojanas, you know, like that. But nobody could go 800 miles. Jambavan looked at Hanumanji, who was standing silent. And he started glorifying Hanuman. He said, Hanuman, you are silent, but you could do anything. And then he started telling the history of Hanuman's life. There are different versions of Hanuman's appearance according to different kalpas. Hanuman may appear in slightly different ways. But on that Anjana Parvat in Kishkindha Kshetra, there was a great monkey king named Keshari Raj. And his wife was Anjana. It is said that at the time of that yajna of Dasarath Maharaj, when that celestial person came out of the fire with a pot of payasam, it was divided into different divisions, and one bird came down and took one of those little pots of payasam and flew into the sky. Inspired by the Supreme Lord. And then Vayudev took it from his claws and brought it down for Anjana to drink. And after drinking, she became pregnant. Hanuman is an amsa of Shiva. He's the son of Vayu, and he's the son of Keshari Raj. Then Jambavan explained how when Hanuman was just a little baby, his mother wanted to get him some fruit, Anjana. And she left Hanuman alone, but he saw the sun and thought it was fruit and jumped and started soaring toward the sun. That day was supposed to be an eclipse. And Rahu was supposed to swallow the sun that day, but he was thinking, Hanuman's going to swallow it before me. So he went to Indra and complained to Indra, and Indra came on his Airavata elephant carrier to stop Hanuman. But he was just a little baby. He didn't know who's Indra. He thought Indra was a piece of fruit. So he was about to grab Indra and eat him. So Indra got scared. And he took his thunderbolt and hit Hanumanji in the chin. And Hanuman fell to the earth with no sign of life. Vayu was very, very angry. So to retaliate, Vayu, who's standing over his lifeless son, withdrew the air of the universe. People were suffocating. Even the demigods couldn't breathe. So they all approached Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma said, well, that's because you did this to the son of Vayu. So Brahma came down with the devatas. And Brahma sprinkled some water and put his hand on the head of little Hanuman, and he came back to life. And then all the devatas offered blessings to Hanuman. Brahma gave him blessing. He would be formidable, undefeatable in battle. He could change into any form he desired. And he would have such deep devotion and love for Lord Sri Ram. Indra gave him blessing that he would be immune even to thunderbolts, and every limb would be strong like a thunderbolt. Surya gave him benediction that one portion of his own effulgence Hanuman would possess. And also that he would be greatest scholar of the Vedas. And Surya himself would make sure he learned all the Vedas thoroughly. Vishwakarma gave him benediction immune to various weapons, and gave him his powers as an architect, as a designer, Brihaspati, with wisdom and knowledge. The Aswini Kumars, with all knowledge of Ayurveda and how to cure people. So many blessings. And he was just a little baby. So when babies have so many blessings, when they become young, he was very restless. And who could stop him? So his childlike pranks, his sages would be performing in the Tungabhadra River, they would be doing their yajnas, and he would come and he would start throwing things in the fire, and they'd be bathing, chanting Gayatri. And he'd start pulling their beards, splashing water on them. He'd rip up their clothes when they'd be in the river bathing. So they went to Keshri and Anjana and said, you know, your son is very naughty. And they said, well, what to do? He has all these blessings. If you can make him forget about these blessings, then he'll be a very nice child. So it wasn't exactly a curse. It was a blessing. But they all came together, these rishis, and proclaimed this, that Hanuman would forget all the powers he has unless someone glorifies him and reminds him of his powers. So Jambavan explained this to all the assembled monkeys, including Hanuman. He said, Hanuman, you could do anything. For you, this 800 miles across the ocean is nothing. And when Hanuman heard this, he just grew in size immediately. He said, 800 miles, I will fly across the universe to rescue Sita. Then he went on the Mandara Mountain. What is it? Mahendra Mountain, yes, Mahendra Mountain. But please listen. First, Hanuman took the blessings of every single monkey colleague of his. And he told them all that you should not go back to Kishkindha Kshetra. You should all wait right here. Because if they all went back, then after going and fulfilling the mission of Ram, he would go alone and he would get all the credit. He didn't want that. We are together. We are a team. We should all share the credit. So you should wait here, and when I come back, we'll all go together to give Ram the good news. So he took the blessings of each and every one of his colleagues and then bowed his head to all of them. This is a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava understands that no divine activity is auspicious unless we receive the blessings of Vaishnavas. Even Hanuman, even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the role of a devotee, Krishna and Radha, would not do anything significant without the blessings of the Vaishnavas. Because unless we humble ourselves to take those blessings, our efforts would not really be pleasing to the Lord. That is the principle of humility. And when we take the blessings, then if we're successful, it's not that we forget about the blessings. We take the blessings just in case. And then I'm successful. See what I have done. A Vaishnava takes blessings, understanding I am nothing without these blessings. And then if a Vaishnava like Hanumanji or any true-hearted devotee is successful in their mission, they will never say, look what I have done. They will give the credit to others. It was your blessings. Look what we have done. I could have done nothing without the blessings of the Vaishnavas. So he bowed down to all the devotees, and then in his heart of heart, he surrendered to Lord Ramchandra and chanted the holy name of Ram. Then he climbed that Mahendra mountain and jumped. What a powerful jump that was. He jumped with such force that the whole mountain started sinking down into the earth. The pressure of the mountain was so, of Hanumanji's feet was so great that all snakes were just pressed out from under the ground. And all the lions and the tigers who were living in the caves, they just all started springing out due to the pressure. And he jumped with such force that the wind that his body created was sucked hundreds and hundreds, thousands of trees to be uprooted and flied along with him. They all gradually were falling into the ocean. Hanuman was flying so fast. His arms were stretched out. It was a magnificent sight to see. He was very big size. He looked like a mountain. His arms were like serpents with five heads. His eyes were just glazed with tears of devotion. And he was making a roaring sound because just his body going against the air, the wind. You know the sound of jet airplanes? You know when the wind is going. That's engines. Just the sound of the wind that he was creating against his body was like the roaring of thunder from huge cloud of Hanumanji. Even the devatas, seeing this scene, they couldn't believe what they were seeing. Nothing like this had ever existed. It was glorious. Hanuman soaring through the sky. The deity who presides over the ocean wanted to render some service to Hanumanji. So he called for the Mainda mountain. According to the Puranic history, at one time mountains had wings and they could fly. But they became so puffed up because they were so big. Can you imagine? Mountains flying? Himalayas? That they were causing difficulties to so many people. So Indra cut off the wings of all the mountains, but Vayu protected Mainda, and he was hiding in the ocean. Mainda mountain was made of gold, pure gold, not gold-plated. Golden mountain. Huge mountain. Under the water. Hiding from Indra. But the ocean that Hanuman is flying all the way, he needs some rest. Why don't you come up and offer him a place to rest? Again, an awesome scene. As Hanuman's flying above, this gigantic solid gold mountain just very rapidly emerges from the sea higher and higher and higher, and as it's coming out, you know, just masses of water are and then personified comes on top of the mountain and tells Hanuman that please accept my service, O great devotee of Lord Sri Ram. I have brought, come and rest for some time on my golden peak. After all, I am greatly indebted to you because Vayu saved my life. Hanumanji, with much gratitude, he accepted the offering of the mountain. But, he said, there will be no rest in my life until I deliver the message to Sita. He considered this an impediment. Now, this is very interesting. It's very subtle. Here is somebody who, with all good intentions, wants to help him and serve him and assist him. Even people who want to do nice things for you can be an impediment. It's not just demons. Offering him a golden resting place for Hanuman, it's not a time for opulence, it's not a time for enjoyment, it's not a time for relaxation. To search for Sita, to attain the goal of life, of bhakti. Sita represents pure bhakti. We must be determined. It's not a time for relaxation. In our own Krishna consciousness, we should vyavashayatmakabudhir ekeha kudunandana bahushaka hinantascha bhuthayo vyavashayana. Krishna says, those who are on this path, they are resolute in purpose. They are determined. Their aim is one. They're not inclined toward an easy life. Devotees have to, they have to have absorption. Devotees have to have intensity. So Hanumanji, just to accept the offering, he touched the mountain with his hand and kept flying. Now the devatas wanted to test Hanuman. So they called the mother of the Nagas, whose name was Surasa. They said, you should test him because you have mystical tantric powders. come really big, fly into the sky and try to eat him and see what happens. So Surasa appears like a gigantic demoness. And she, when she talks, it's thundering in the sky. She said, "Who are you to come here? I have been given the benediction by Lord Brahma that anyone who comes before me, that I will have the power to devour them." So now, today, I see this nice monkey, big monkey, will be my food. Hanuman, he said, "With all respect, that you can devour me, but let me give the message to Sita first, then I'll come back afterward, and I promise you, I'll let you devour me. But I must do my duty to the Lord." She said, "No, I will devour you now. I cannot wait. I'm too hungry. And you're a monkey. How can I trust you?" So she opened her mouth very wide. And Hanuman expanded himself, double the size. She opened her mouth one yojana. It's about 8 miles. He expanded himself 16 yojanas. She opened her mouth double that. She opened, 16 miles, 2 yojanas. The more she opened, the more he grew, the more she grew, her mouth, until her mouth was literally covering the entire sky as far as everybody could see. And Hanuman was even bigger, and she got even bigger. Now, sometimes it is said that women have big mouths. Men also have big mouths. But Surasa actually had a big mouth. Hanuman, all of a sudden, when her mouth was all devouring, he became the size of a thumb and jumped in her mouth and started walking around. Walked all the way down her tongue, into her throat, real fast, and then jumped out. And in his little form, he said, "Lord Brahma's benediction has been fulfilled. You devoured me. Now please let me go on and do my service to Ram." And Surasa was so happy. She said, "You are very intelligent. Very wise man. How you did like that?" And she blessed Hanuman. "You will be successful in your service to Sri Ram." But this is one of the impediments in our devotional service. This tendency to want to compete and be bigger and better than others. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, "Trinadapi sunichena taror ibasa yeshnuna. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari." This was Hanuman's mood. Rather than just getting bigger, 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 become very small. No pride, no false ego. In the service to the Lord, who cares about winning in these different types of, egoistic competitions? Hanuman was happy to accept defeat. Yes, he could have fought like a monkey. "No one will devour me." False pride? No. Service to the Lord. Take a humble position if necessary. Yes. You devoured me. You win. You won. So now let me do my service. So this competitiveness based on the false ego is an obstacle on the path of bhakti. Hanumanji took the humble position and was blessed. He's flying in the air. And a Rakshashi woman named Simika grabbed his shadow. Now Hanuman's in the air and he's not going anywhere. He's looking around. He's like, he's not going. And he looks down, he sees way, way, way down near the ocean. Here is this horrible, ugly Rakshasi who's holding on to his shadow. And she had the mystic power to stop a man by his shadow. She wanted to devour him. She represents another obstacle, envy. First pride, and then envy. The nature of pride, she was trying to drag Hanuman down. The nature of an envious person is they want to bring down others, especially people who are higher than them. Cannot tolerate seeing anyone above me. Must somehow or other drag them down. And another thing, Samika representing envy, she was very expert at grabbing onto the shadow. Darkness. Yes. Instead of looking into the bright side of people, we want an envious person wants to always focus on the dark sides of people. See their faults. See their mistakes. Broadcast it. Meditate on it. Srila Prabhupada said, even the faults in a Vaishnav, to point out those faults is like criticizing the moon because they have marks on them. The moon is giving off so much light. But yes, there are some dark marks on it. So are you going to forget about all that light and just talk about the marks? A devotee is like a honeybee, always looking for nectar in people, looking for the nectar of the good in people, the devotion in people, the potential of love in people. A fly looks for the pus, the infection, the stool. So envious people, and envy is in all of us. Anyone who's not a pure devotee still has envy in their heart. It's an obstacle. We have to guard against it. We have a tendency to see the faults in others, to see the darkness in others, and ignore the bright side, ignore their virtues, and try to bring them down. That is Samika. So holding on to Hanuman, she opened her mouth very wide to devour him. And he got bigger, and her mouth got bigger, and she got bigger, and her mouth got bigger. And again, Hanuman got small and went right into her mouth. But she was really envious. She wasn't testing Hanuman like Suras. She wanted to kill him. She was determined. And there was no way she would ever let him get by. It was either he dies or she dies. In the service of Ram, he went down in that little form, went down her throat, went right to her heart, and with his nails, he ripped open her heart, and then started ripping all her other organs apart. And Samika screamed. Echoed in all directions. And Hanuman came out of her body as she fell into the ocean. And he didn't even look back. He just carried on. And reached ashore. He saw in the distance the Trikuta mountain on which Sri Lanka was located. Fantastic sight. What a beautiful place. When he came to the shores of Lanka, Hanumanji was trying to decide how to find Sita. He thought he would wait till night when it was dark, and then incognito, in a small form, a monkey about the size of a cat, he would just go through. But as he was trying to enter Sri Lanka, there was a Rakshashi guard named Lankini. She stopped Hanuman. It's interesting because he was a brahmachari and all these Surasa, Simika, Lankini. He was a lot of tests. Lankini said, "You monkey, get out of here. I will kill you. This is Sri Lanka. No one enters without my permission, and I am this maidservant of Ravana, and I must guard his city. You dare to come to these shores, I will kill you." She slapped Hanuman. Now Hanuman, with his fist, he punched her. But he really restrained himself because he didn't want to kill her. He just wanted to remove her from the path. He just punched her, and she fell down. And then she got up, and she was actually quite ecstatic. She said, "I congratulate you, because Lord Brahma told me long ago," was it Brahma or a rishi? It was Lord Brahma. She said, "Someday a monkey's going to punch you and you're going to fall down." And that monkey is going to burn the city of Lanka. And that's the time when Ravana and the whole, that's the beginning of the end of the whole Ravana's dynasty. So she said, "I give you all blessings. Go in and do your seva to Lord Rama." So the moon was rising, and Hanumanji took a small form like an ordinary little cat-sized monkey. And he not only wanted to find Sita, but because he was a very, very intelligent, strategic warrior, he wanted to be able to share with Rama and Lakshman and Sugriva all the formations of the city and the formations of the army and how the whole city was developed, so that when they fought with them, they would have all this significant information. But his main purpose was to find Sita. He was amazed to see the opulence of Lanka. Most precious materials. It was the kingdom of Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods before Ravana took over. And then he developed it even more with Kumbhakarna and the help of his. So much gold and silver and just unlimited precious jewels of all sizes. And he was seeing these gigantic rakshashas everywhere. Heroes all holding weapons. And because it was night, they were all enjoying Sanskrit. There were millions of them just guarding. And millions more that were just enjoying. They were intoxicated. They were all enjoying all these beautiful women of daughters and Gandharvas and rishis that they would kidnap. It was a horrible scene. He kept going, looking. And everywhere he was going, there was these mighty, mighty warrior rakshashas and all these unbelievably beautiful ladies that were hardly even dressed. Most of them were just intoxicated, laying on beds. And Hanuman had to very carefully examine each one of them to see which one was Sita. very difficult service for a brahmachari like Hanuman. He was looking for Sita, so he was every woman he was seeing laying there. But he didn't have any desires for it. He was just doing his duty, completely aloof from the dualities of the world, because he was absorbed in devotional service. He came to parks and gardens and mansions, 7-story buildings. And finally, at the very peak of the Trikuta mountain, was the palace of Ravana. How beautiful that was. The floor was the most precious shining marbles. The walls were gold, solid gold, with decorations of silver and millions of jewels giving light within the walls. Furniture was ivory, coral, gold, diamonds. Beautiful. There was 10, over 100,000 Rakshasa guards surrounding Ravana's palace. Hanuman's going deeper and deeper. Nobody sees him. He's checking out everything. He sees so many of these beautiful ladies. None of them, he believes, is Sita. Then he comes. Ravana's palace, I think he traveled about 4 miles through this luxurious palace until he finally came to Ravana's chamber, the most opulent, more opulent than the king of heaven, because Ravana had conquered the king of heaven, Indra, and all the devatas practically. And there he saw on a massive bed made out of crystal, bedecked with all the most precious jewels. Celestial jewels. There was Ravana laying there, drunk with intoxications. At that time, by his powers, he could change his form too. He only had 1 head and 2 arms. Hanuman looked at Ravana. He really was scary, but he was also very beautiful. And his power. Hanuman was thinking, if only he was a devotee in the service of the Lord, he could practically control the whole universe in Ram's service. But because of his envy and his lust, everything is spoiled. And there was somebody next to Ravana, the most beautiful woman in all of Sri Lanka. She was absolutely beautiful. She was laying asleep right beside Ravana. Hanuman thought, the quality of this person's beauty, could this be Sita? But then he was thinking, not possible. Sita would never willingly lay next to Ravana. And she would never look intoxicated. She would never take intoxications. And not only that, she would not look blissful like this lady in her sleep. In separation from Ram, Sita must be weeping and weeping and weeping. So he kept searching and searching, until he came to a magnificent, huge garden. And there he saw these ugly, horrible Rakshasis surrounding a beautiful woman. whose clothes were soiled, whose hair was uncombed, who was unbathed, but still, through it, the most charming beauty in all of spiritual and material creations was sitting there. And she was constantly sobbing out the name of Ram as tears were streaking down her face. She heard these Rakshasi women harassing her, that if you do not surrender to Ravana, you will become, we will kill you, we will destroy you, we will eat you alive. And she wouldn't look at any of them, constantly crying out the name of Rama. Hanuman was hiding in a tree, wondering, how am I going to get the message to Sita when she's surrounded by Rakshasis? He was watching through the night. Early morning, Ravana woke up, and he couldn't, his whole focus was only on getting Sita. As soon as he woke up, he just dressed himself very nicely, put on jewels, and with hundreds and hundreds of massive guards, marched into the Ashok Garden, right to Sita, and started speaking lovely poetry to her to try to somehow or other attract her heart. "I cannot sleep thinking of you." When Lord Brahma created your beauty, he must have retired after that because there was nothing else he could possibly do. Ravana was a poet. He was composing love songs and he was very sweetly presenting them to Sita. But Sita would not look at him. She responded by saying, by keeping me, you are keeping a noose around your neck. You are a coward. Why didn't you fight Ram and Lakshman? Why did you steal me like a thief when they were away? Because you are a coward. Ram will come here. He will kill you. I would rather die a million deaths than be touched by you. She wouldn't look at him. And she was constantly crying, "Ram, Ram, come." And Ravana was outraged, being insulted by Sita this way. "What nonsense. You see what a king I am? You see the royalty I have? You see what good manners I have? You see the wealth and the opulence I have? All the gods tremble in fear of me. I have defeated each and every one of them. And who is your Ram, rejected by his father, living like a worthless jungle dweller?" "If you just accept my love, then you will enjoy. I will give up all my other wives only for you. And we will roam along the beautiful seashore of Sri Lanka together, immersed in divine pleasures. And if you don't, then at the end of the year, I will chop your body up and I will eat you for my morning meal." Those were the two choices. Sita proclaimed that when Ram comes here, you will be the food for vultures. Ravana, outraged, he turned to the Rakshasi woman and he said, "Force her to submit to me." and he went away. Meanwhile, the Rakshasi women, they were really, they had the order of Ravana once again. They were really ugly, these Rakshasa women. Of course, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Some of them had ears as big as the rest of their body. Some of them had fangs and claws. They were really hideous people. And they had weapons. And they were waving their weapons around and showing their teeth and screaming and their claws and all threatening to kill and eat Sita if she didn't surrender to Ravana. And she just had her eyes down, just chanting the name Ram, crying, crying, crying. And Hanuman was watching it all. His tendency was to just go down there and just beat up all these women. But he understood that that would not be fulfilling the mission of the Lord. He was very restrained. He knew what he had to do. But then, one mystical Rakshasi lady, her name was Trikarta, yes? She appeared. She said to all the other ladies, I won't call them ladies, all the other Rakshasis. She said, I had a dream last night. In my dream, I saw the beautiful effulgent form of Ram and Sita reunited, ascending in a wonderful chariot, dressed in beautiful gowns and clothes and full of jubilation. And I saw Ravana and all the Rakshasas of his dynasty, his family members, his generals. They were all being carried away to the funeral pyre. Now everyone knew that this Trikarta, she was a mystic and she could see the future. So the Rakshasis realized what was going to happen. So they all went to take rest a distance away. And Sita was all alone, crying for Ram. At that point, Hanuman was wondering, Ravana has tried every trick to induce Sita. If I come before her, she may think that I'm Ravana. So from the tree, she couldn't even see him. He was in a very small form then. He started chanting the glories of Ram. Told about Ram's birth in Ayodhya and his brothers, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna. Told all about his travels with Vishwamitra Muni through the forest, his marriage of Sita in Mithila, his coming back to Ayodhya, his banishment, the wonderful loving exchanges Sita and Ram had in Chitrakoot. Then he talked about their travels through the forest into Dandakaranya, the kidnapping of Ravana, and how it affected Ram. How he was weeping and crying out Sita's name, searching everywhere, and how he made allies with Sugriva. And now all to the point of Hanuman's search for Sita and his crossing the ocean and all the impediments he had. He told everything, glorifying Ram. I am the messenger of Ram. I have come here. And Sita, where are you? Where are you? And then she saw this little monkey. But he kept speaking about Ram and her heart. It's the first glories of Ram she heard in all those months in Sri Lanka. At that time, Hanuman came out and gave her the ring. Sita took that ring to her head. her heart and cried, "You are the messenger of Ram." She said to Hanuman, "Of all devotees, you are the greatest devotee. All that you have done through, all the sacrifices you have made, jumping across the whole ocean, risking your life here in Sri Lanka all alone, there is no other devotee that can equal you, Hanumanji." Hanuman said to Sita, "I will take you to Ram myself. Just get on my back." But he forgot that he was still small size. He was less than half the size of Sita. He says, "Just jump on my back and I'll take you away." And Sita said, "How can I get on your back?" And then Hanuman realized, so he got real big. He just grew bigger and bigger and bigger. He said, "I will take you. I can single-handedly destroy Ravana and the whole Sri Lanka. I have the power, Sita. I can pick up the whole Sri Lanka and take it back to Kishkindha Kshetra. So just get on my back and I will take you." Sita said, "But if I get on your back, when you start flying through the sky, I'm going to blow off and go into the ocean where all the ferocious aquatic animals will eat me, fish. How can I, when you're flying so fast, how can I hold on to you? And besides that, I have vowed to never touch another man except Ram. Ravana forcibly touched me, but I will never touch another man. That is my chastity. And besides that, if you take me back and rescue me, then it will minimize the glory of Ramchandra. It is his vow that he will come here and he will personally rescue me. Then his name will be glorified forever." Hanuman was happy. He said, "Please give me some token, some sign by which Ram will know that I met with you." Should I continue? She said, "Tell him this story, because no one else in the whole creation knows this story except Ram and me. Tell him how when we were living in Chitrakoot, we were sitting on a rock together, and a crow, who happened to be the son of Indra, came and scratched me with his claws to test to see who Ram really was. And how Lord Ram, in order to punish that crow, picked up a single piece of kusha grass and threw it and empowered it as a brahmastra. And how that grass, the crow flew throughout the universe, but the grass was always right behind it. And finally, the crow came back to Ram and fell at his lotus feet and surrendered. And Ram spared the crow, but had the grass pluck out its eye. Harivo, tell him that story and he'll know that you see me." And then she had a piece of cloth and unwrapped it. There was a yellow jewel. A jewel that Indra had given to King Janak. And a jewel that Janak Maharaj presented as a gift to Ram on the day of their marriage. And Ram gave it to Sita. She said that if you show him this jewel, he will know that you have met me. And please tell Lord Ram that I cannot live much longer in separation from him, in the association of these rakshasas and rakshashis. Please, he should come and rescue me." Hanuman bowed his head at Sita's lotus feet But then he decided to give more information to Ram. He wanted to get more intimate information. He wanted to test the might of the Rakshasas. So he grew into a very big size and started just playing like a monkey, uprooting trees, beautiful fruit trees. There were golden walls made out of golden bricks. He was knocking over the whole walls. There were beautiful buildings, garden buildings. He was smashing them to pieces. He was causing total havoc in the garden. And it was the favorite place of Ravana. So the Rakshasis ran and told Ravana what was happening. There's this gigantic monkey destroying your garden. It's practically finished. And then he sat on the main gate and yanked a big iron rod out of the gate and was standing there waiting for anyone to challenge. Ravana sent 80,000 soldiers. Massive Rakshasas, all armed with deadly weapons, to attack Hanuman. Hanuman saw him coming, was smiling, laughing, screaming out so everyone in Sri Lanka could hear him, "I am Hanuman, the messenger of Ram." And he took that steel bar and started whirling it around, and like the wind, he just dove into those soldiers, and within a matter of minutes, he killed all 80,000 Rakshasas. The news came to Ravana. He couldn't believe it, that 80,000 Rakshasas killed by a monkey? This is very serious. So he called one of his most empowered generals, whose name was Jambumali. Jambumali boarded a chariot and he attacked. He was a very good fighter. But Ravana just took that iron rod and poof, smashed him to death. Jambumali's dead. Ravana was very, very disturbed. He sent 7 other powerful generals of his army, all with mystical powers, brahmastras, everything. They came attacking Ravana, they came attacking Hanuman, showering his body with bows, with arrows from their wicked bows. And Hanuman, with his hands, I think there were 7. I think 5 of them he just smashed with his hands, and the other 2 he kicked with his feet. And they all died. Then Ravana sent 5 other leaders of his army. And Hanuman punched to death a few of them. Then he picked up a mountain and crushed the rest of them. Then thousands of other soldiers came, and within minutes, Hanuman wiped them all out. Ravana was becoming very, very upset. He called for his own son, Prince Aksha, one of the most powerful warriors in the universe. And he boarded this magnificent chariot led by celestial horses, armed with divine, with Rakshasa mystical weapons. And this was a really good fight. He covered Hanuman's body with arrows. And everywhere Hanuman was going, he kept shooting him and shooting him and shooting him. And ultimately, Hanuman felt, "I can't play with this Rakshasa any longer. He's too powerful." So Hanuman grabbed the son of Ravana by the legs with his hand and whirled him around in the sky. This is all happening in the sky. Then he came down, then he flew to the ground and poof! He just whacked him on the ground till he was dead. Ravana's heart was broken. His own son is dead. That's when he sent his eldest, most powerful son, Indrajit. Indrajit on his mighty chariot with all opulence. It was a really good fight. No matter how much Indrajit was shooting arrows, astras, throwing javelins, or Hanuman was in the sky dodging every one of them. And also, it was very hard for Hanuman to hit Indrajit because he was such a good fighter. They were fighting for quite a long time. And ultimately, Indrajit took his most powerful weapon, a Brahmastra, empowered by Lord Brahma, and shot it at Hanuman after chanting mantras. That Brahmastra bound Hanuman and hurled him to the ground. Hanuman realized that I have just been knocked down by a Brahmastra. But he had a benediction from Brahma that even a Brahmastra could not have effect for more than a few minutes on him. So he was thinking, I will take this opportunity to meet Ravana face to face and tell him what I think. So as he was laying there, the Rakshasas bound him with ropes and dragged him to Ravana's court. Ravana had one of his ministers, Prahasta, ask Hanuman, who are you and what kind of havoc nonsense are you doing? He said, I am Hanuman, the minister of Sugriva, who is the ally of Ram. And then he looked at Ravana. He said, Ravana, you could live peacefully for the rest of your life in Sri Lanka with all of your subjects and all of your armies and all of your wealth if you give Sita back to Ram. If you don't, you saw what havoc I have done. I'm just one out of tens and millions of monkeys. Headed by Ram and Lakshman, who will be coming to destroy you. You wicked Rakshasa, coward, you stole Sita away, afraid to face Ram face to face, but he is coming. So I beseech you, I beseech you, please, return Sita, and Ram will forgive you. Ravana was outraged. He screamed, kill that monkey. And that is when Vibhishan came forward. According to Kshatriya code, you can never kill a messenger, even of the enemy. You can punish him, but you cannot kill him. Ravana said, but he destroyed my garden. He destroyed so many of my armies. He just killed my own son. It's not just a messenger. Hanuman said, well, as far as destroying the garden, I'm a monkey. What do you expect? I have to do those things. And as far as killing your son and all your soldiers, that was self-defense. They attacked me. I was just playing in your garden. Vibhishan said, according to the laws of Kshatriya conduct, you cannot kill the messenger of an enemy. Ravan did not like Vibhishan's advice, but he knew Vibhishan was very wise, that almost anything Vibhishan ever said of what would happen in the future always came true. So he said, all right, bind up this monkey. And monkeys are proud of their tails. set his tail ablaze with fire. And then drag him through the streets to utterly humiliate him and mutilate him. And if he dies, no problem. And if he lives, he'll be mutilated, injured, and let him go back in humiliation. So they took large quantities of cloth and soaked it in oil and wrapped it around Hanumanji's tail. They had big, thick ropes around his waist. Not only his waist, his arms were also, his whole body was covered with ropes with his arms stuck, bound to his body. They took him, and Hanuman grew, but still he was bound, but he grew and grew and grew. Hanuman gave one last message to Ravana, just see what I will do. And they dragged him out into the streets, and they started dragging him, beating him with ropes. His tail on fire. But Hanumanji, by his powers, became very small. Very small. And he slipped right out from the ropes and jumped onto a roof. And the whole building set on fire. And he jumped to the next building. It touched it with his tail. It blazed with fire. And the next building, and the next building. Vibhishan's wife was a great devotee. She was the only one in all of Sri Lanka that was Sita's well-wisher and friend. She told Sita what was happening. And Sita Devi prayed to Agni, the fire god, that please be very cool and refreshing to Hanuman's tail. Let that fire be cool and refreshing. So as Hanuman's just jumping from building to building, over half of Sri Lanka was blazing on fire. And he felt his tail very soothing. He was thinking, because I am doing the service of Lord Ram, Sita must be praying for me. He could understand properly. He was creating such havoc. Buildings were burning. And because so many buildings were burning and there was so much gold in the buildings, it was like rivulets of gold, melted gold, pouring down the streets like with thousands and thousands of precious jewels floating in it. And Rakshashas, their bodies blazing on fire, were jumping from the tops of the buildings, jumping from the windows of the buildings to their death. Hanumanji ultimately went to one particular mountain and just looked and saw the havoc he was creating. Everybody was screaming in anxiety. Nobody could even go after Hanuman. Everyone was just trying to salvage their own lives. Most of Sri Lanka was burning. But Agni Dev would not touch Ravana's palace because he was afraid of Ravana. Then Hanuman was thinking, most of the city's burning. I may have burned Sita. I was so hasty to teach Ravana a good lesson. Due to my anger, I lost my intelligence. Sita could be burning in this fire. But then from the sky, the denizens of the heavens spoke to Hanuman and said, you have done good work in burning the city of Ravana, and Sita is safe and protected. Hanuman was assured. And he put his tail out and then went to a particular mountain. on the northern side of Lanka, the Arista Mountain, and he jumped back across the ocean. Soaring through the airways, Hanuman was so happy. He was ecstatic. He had performed the will of the Lord. He pacified Sita and gave hope to her heart. And as he was coming closer to Rameshwaram area, he saw all of his monkey soldier colleagues waiting for him. And when they saw Hanuman, I guess, landing, they were in such anticipation. He came down and embraced them and told them the whole story. They were joyful, joyful, joyful. Let us go back to Kishkindha Kshetra and tell Ram. So all of them together with Sugriva and, I mean Angada and Hanuman in the front, they were all cheering, Jai Ram, Jai Ram. And on the outskirts of Kishkindha is the Madhuban forest. That's the favorite part of the kingdom for Sugriva, because there's luscious fruits and trees with enormous quantities of honey and honeycombs, like nectar. So they were so happy that they had done the will of Ram. They went into that forest and were drinking all the honey and eating all the fruits, and they were just so dancing and ripping the trees down. And there were guards. Sugriva's guards saw them. They didn't know what to do. The head of the guards was Dadi Mukha. He sent his soldiers to fight against Angada and Hanuman. And you know what happened to them. Angada beat up Dadi Mukha, and all the soldiers were getting beat up. So Dadi Mukha ran to Sugriva and said, you know what they're doing? Hanuman and Angada, they're ruining your whole garden. They're just intoxicated with joy. And Sugriva heard that. He was in ecstasy. He says, that means they must be celebrating the fulfillment of Ram's command. He said, bring them here immediately. So Dadi Mukhi went there and apologized. Angada said, it's all right. They told the whole story to Sugriva, and they all went to meet Ramchandra at Prashravana. Hanuman presented the jewel to Ram. Tears streamed down from his lotus-like eyes as he placed that jewel to his forehead and sing it. It was as if he was reunited with Sita. Hanuman told the story of the crow on the rock in Chitrakoot and how he had delivered the ring to Sita. Angada then described all the details to Ram about Hanuman's pastimes in Sri Lanka. Lord Sri Ramchandra was so overcome with gratitude to Hanuman for his devotion, for his total surrender and love. Ramchandra said, I'm living in the forest, I have nothing. I am so unlimitedly grateful to you, but I have no way to repay you. The only thing I have to give you to reciprocate with all you've done is my embrace. Then Lord Ramchandra, with tears of love for his devotee in his eyes, embraced Hanuman. And for Hanuman, he had no attraction for all the wealth of Ravana's kingdom. But he received the ultimate supreme treasure of all treasures in the embrace of his beloved Lord, Sri Ramchandra. Sri Hanumanji ki jai. It is getting late, so I think we should end here. Thank you very much. Now, in honor of Hanuman Jayanti, everyone please dance like ecstatic monkeys. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.